History is full of betrayers, many of them quite famous. You might know the story of Marcus Brutus and Julius Caesar. Maybe you heard it from English class studying Shakespeare, or maybe from history class. Brutus and Caesar were both Roman politicians, and they were friends, not only friends, but Caesar considered Brutus to be almost like a son. However, Brutus loved Rome more than the emerging dictator, and so he joined a plot to assassinate Caesar. And when Brutus lifted up his knife to stab Caesar with all the others, that's when we hear the famous lines from Shakespeare, when Caesar looks to Brutus and says, "Et tu, Brute, and you, Brutus, you would join these betrayers?" American political history, we have betrayers too. We have Benedict Arnold, a general for the Continental Army during the Revolutionary War, which is the war in which we won our independence from Great Britain and the British Empire. But Benedict Arnold apparently wasn't completely sold on the idea of American independence. And so at the suggestion of his loyalist wife, he became a British spy against General George Washington and company. And so even today, his name is synonymous with traitorous betrayal. Don't be a Benedict Arnold. But no name is more linked to betrayal than that of Judas Iscariot, who sold our Lord and Savior to the Jewish authorities for 30 pieces of silver. Brutus, Benedict, Judas, all betrayers and all men who, after their betrayal was discovered, fled in fear and cowardice and shame. And in Judas's case, committed suicide in the guilt of his sin, his betrayal. See, betrayers don't like to face those that they've sold out. Once discovered, they flee, they run, they fear retribution. And this is, I think, partly why the disciples are so startled and terrified when Jesus in our gospel just suddenly pops into the room. Now, of course, they are startled too because the last they saw of Christ, they were taking him off the cross, and they were sealing up the tomb. Yet here he is before them, standing there. So surely they think this has to be a ghost or a spirit. But that doesn't really make matters any better, does it? I'm not a big fan of scary movies, horror movies, but in what I have seen, whenever there's a ghost, whenever there's a spirit, it generally isn't a good thing. When they're in the movie, they're there because they're the bad guy, and they're there because they're going to give revenge or retaliation upon the living who did something to them. The disciples are terrified as Christ pops into the room. And it's a room full of his betrayers. Each and every one of them left Jesus in his time of greatest need. They denied even knowing him. In Peter's case, he denied Christ, even knowing Christ, 3 times. And now these betrayers are faced with what they think is the spirit returned of Christ, the one they gave over to the cross just days ago. I would be terrified, wouldn't you? But those in the room that day aren't the only betrayers. I'm looking at a room full of betrayers right now, myself included. Though Peter, in his sermon recorded for us in our Acts passage, is speaking specifically to Jews, his words really are for all of us. You rejected the Holy and Righteous One. You killed the Author of Life. Just think of how amazing that statement is. You killed the One who wrote life into existence. Each and every one of us is guilty of betraying Christ, of putting Him on the cross. We are all guilty of denying His name, handing over the One who created us, the One who fashioned us in our mother's womb, putting Him on the cross. It is our sin that nails Him there, and as 1 John tells us, all sin is lawlessness. It is rebellion. It is the betrayal of God's trust. It is denying Him. Now, as sinners, we are diseased. Our human nature is filled with it. And so we aren't simply satisfied in betraying our Lord. We betray each other as well. We betray the trust of those who we love, who we respect, and those who love and respect us in return. Parents, spouses, children, employers, employees, co-workers, teachers. Cheating on a test or in a relationship is betrayal. Breaking promises to children, spouses, that's a betrayal of our word. Abandoning friends in times of need, leaving them when they need us the most, when they're in their trials, their hardships, when they require our help, that's betrayal. We are all betrayers at one point or another. And each time we receive Holy Communion, as we will today, we are reminded of this fact in the words of institution, on the night in which He was betrayed. But thankfully, the words don't stop there. Christ pops into a room full of His betrayers, but the first words that He says are words that they actually don't hear right away. He says to them, "Peace be with you." Literally, He says, "Peace to you." When faced with those we have betrayed and denied, we come ready to receive retaliation. We come ready to receive revenge. But Christ doesn't offer that. Instead, He grants peace. And it's more than peace that is present when we experience the absence of war. It's holistic peace. It's the peace that is experienced in complete and in full forgiveness. After granting peace to the disciples and seeing that they are still frightened and troubled and probably guilty, and thinking that He is a ghost, Christ says, "Well, let me show you my wounds. Let me show you my body. Look at my hands and my feet and see that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." Christ has done the impossible. The dead stayed dead, but not Jesus. He came back, and now He stands before His disciples. He has not only overcome their betrayal, He has overcome death itself. And the disciples, who once were terrified, startled, fearful of judgment, now look at Christ in some kind of joy and wonderment and also disbelief. The kind of amazement and wonder and disbelief that you have when your senses are telling you one thing, but the logic of your mind tells you another. Their senses tell them, "Yeah, this is Jesus before me." But their mind says, This is not possible. And so Jesus performs a magic trick. He asks his audience for a piece of fish, and in their presence he makes the fish disappear by eating it. This is actually a pretty easy magic trick. You can try this at home. My family does this all the time. Whenever there's fish, we make it disappear pretty fast. Jesus does magic because he is there in the flesh. He has wounds that can still be touched. He has an appetite. He can eat fish. And he is there before his betrayers in the flesh. He is risen. He is victorious. And he didn't come back to condemn them, but to grant them peace. After eating the fish, proving that he is really there, Christ moves on to teaching his disciples, telling them that everything written about him in the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, must be fulfilled. And what was it that was written? That the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. Christ opens their minds so that for the first time they can understand the fullness of who it is that is before them. All the things that he had done in the past now make sense. But he doesn't stop there. It can't stop there. Suffering and rising would mean nothing if not for what Christ says next. Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead and on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations. Christ suffers. Christ dies. Christ rises again, and he does so for a purpose. That peace might be granted through him, through the forgiveness of sins to those who are repentant. Soon we will hear the words, on the night in which he was betrayed. And you and I will know and hear once again, we are sinners. We are betrayers. We are Christ's betrayers. But then we will hear the words of peace granted to us through Jesus Christ. With open hands we hear of Christ's body given for you, of Christ's blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. The table is open for sinners, sinners who are worthy. And what does it take to be worthy? It takes just knowing that you and I are unworthy. Unworthy to hear the words that Christ has to give to us. Peace be with you. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, help us to know our betrayal, to know our denial. But help us more to hear your words of forgiveness, the peace that you grant to us. And Lord, in this, help us to also be witnesses to this proclamation, to bring it to those who have not heard it, who have rejected it. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would be in us to accomplish this amazing and difficult task. We pray this in your name. Amen.